Lemon Sports Mix.
Cambridge Radio. This is the Women's Sports Mix on Cambridge Radio with me, Amy Gray.
And me, Alex Elbro.
And the Women's Sports Mix covers all types of sports and activities for women and girls in Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire. This is our debut season. Our first episode went out back in August. And this is our last episode for December and for 2024. We will be back in January, but we are going to have a wee winter break, like we're sportswomen.
Because we definitely are, even though we just talk about it mainly more than do it.
But we
had the great intentions, so we're with you in that one. And to celebrate, we thought we'd look back at some of the highlights and share them with you.
First up, we'll be hearing from Cambridge United Women's Team Secretary Liz Pamplin. We do hear from Liz regularly on the show. She gives us her assessment of youth games. But we did also have Liz in the studio back on our very first show. Liz shared with us about her career in women's football and a bit of history about the youths. And after that, it's February Phillips, one of the founders of Cambridge Rollerbillies, who we have seen. We enjoyed that, didn't we?
We did. It was great fun.
They are our local roller derby team, and February will help to explain the rules of roller derby to me and Alex, and also a bit of information about how you can get involved too.
Yeah, it is quite a complicated game, I'm not going to lie, but I think her explanation does definitely help. And next we will hear from the women's rugby team at Shelford Rugby Club with the two players, Zoe Woodhams and Fabia Howell, and how they got into rugby. And finally, we're going to talk to the founders of Girls Skate Cambridgeshire, Taya, Jessica and May, about their experiences of skateboarding with the opening of the indoor skate park in Cambridge.
Hello in the studio to Cambridge United Women's Team Secretary Liz Pamplin. Hello, Liz.
Hiya.
Liz, can you tell us a little bit about your background? How did you start in the club and how long have you been involved with the club?
Well, I started playing football when I was knee-high. I have an older brother, and so he used to drag me along to play all the time. I just fell in love with the game. Then when I moved to Cambridge in 2000, I'd been playing at university, and I was looking for a club to join. And so I called the manager of a local club, which was then Pie Ladies. They used to play on the old Chesterton Pie Factory ground. That was a fellow called Alan Burge, who's actually a big Cambridge United fan and does work at the ground for voluntary sometimes. And I just joined them, and over the years playing for them, that's the club that is now what is now Cambridge United again. So there's been years where it's played under different names, but it's always been the same club that's affiliated through that then became what we are now as Cambridge United Women. The women's games evolved so much over that time, 24 years, that things were very, very different. So clubs kind of changed names and personnel, but that is eventually where we landed a few years ago to come back into being Cambridge United Women and fully integrating into the club. Probably the full integration in kind of all within the club has probably been the last 2 or 3 years.
I mean, that's amazing when you think that's only 2 or 3 years. So we're not. It's not surprising that a lot of people are still kind of need to be explained that this is happening, and the fact that your home ground is at St Neots. So my plea would be somehow we need to get some transport to get supporters over to St Neots if you don't travel.
It would be lovely. That was one of the big things at Norwich yesterday. I mean, the Nest is out by the airport, and they have a bus that
we saw, from
Norwich,
didn't we?
Into the Nest for the games, and so that's one of the things that it'd be brilliant if we could get fans from Cambridge.
Yeah, that's what I feel that we should be promoting this year, is looking with you how we can look at our ways of doing that, because if there was some way that fans from here could can get over to Sydney, it's easily. I'm sure that that'd be a much a brilliant afternoon out.
Yeah, because I often talk to people on the terrace at United when I'm there, and they're like, I would love to come, but St Neots is just a little bit way out. The reason why we're at St Neots is because of the level of football that we play at, you have to have a certain level of ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And Cambridge in the city itself doesn't really have that level of ground, and obviously we'd love to play at the Abbey, but it's like quite a large ground when you're still building up your fan base.
Yeah, yeah. So, I think that's it. You don't want to feel intimidated in a massive thing. It's nice to feel sort of more cozy and family-like. So we've either got to get the people over St Neots, or we need to get some decent pitches built here for Cambridge United.
Well,
Women.
That's right.
And how about that?
Yeah, that is the thing. The pitches over here, there aren't that many that fit the ground grading, and St Neots have been very good to us.
We're
very pleased, and it's one of the best grounds in our league, so we're very grateful for their support.
We'll be hoping to get over as soon as we can, don't we, and see some matches there. Do you want to talk about what's coming up?
What the game's coming up? So we've got Northampton Town in the Cup tomorrow.
Not much time, is it, as Aaron was saying that as well?
Yeah, it's an interesting fixture tomorrow, because what the league do is they have a league cup and a league plate, and the game tomorrow is what they call the determining round. So the teams that win in that go into the league cup, and the teams that lose in that go into the league plate. So whatever the result tomorrow will end up in a further competition. It just so happens that the plate is the national final that we ended up in the final of last year. So we have a little
bit
of a soft spot for that. Yeah, we played Derby in Manchester, that's right. And we had a great weekend, really. In the end, the result didn't go our way, but we put on a really good show. And so, you know, I got a soft spot for the plate, but we really love to win the match as well. A bit of a local derby at Northampton.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're playing at Sixfields as well, so
it'll be a big
game.
And then you're eyeing up a win against Chesham.
Yes, yeah. We're back at home at St Neots, and we like being at home. We're back at home at St Neots on Sunday, and Chesham are coming to us. Last season we had some good duels against Chesham last season, and we're hoping for 3 points on Sunday. That will be the aim, and that's what we're aiming for.
And what's the injury situation at the moment, Liz?
We have a few players out. We recruited well in the summer, and unfortunately one of our summer signings has been injured since the start of pre-season. Finneran is currently still on the treatment table.
Okay.
And our Sarah Wiltshire, who's our striker, was pregnant all last season. She had she had her baby Laker. He's gorgeous, and she was back at the start of pre-season, and unfortunately 15 minutes of pre-season left, she broke her arm. The final pre-season fixture, she scored lots of goals as well in pre-season, so she's got about 6 weeks out, but she'll come back flying.
That's a bit gutting, isn't it?
Well, this is the thing with women's sports, there's different things going on
this is what we want to as the weeks go on through the episodes, talk about the different issues that you have in women's sport in particular, but also and in the women's game. We were saying a lot, you're contending with often a full-time job, and you know, families and other things, and volunteering. So, you know, there's that on top of, you're not just being able to say, all right, I can just do nothing now. And
this is where we talk about there's more for the women's game now. It's progressing. Would you say it's in the right direction, Liz, but still there's still so much to do, isn't there?
Oh, very much in the right direction. I retired 3 years ago, and when I retired I was still not far off having still paying to play. Now that the girls have got good advantages where they've got that they play free football, they get all their kit and all that sort of stuff, but every single one of them and the staff as well are in full-time jobs or full-time education.
And I so think it's hard sometimes people forget that part. You know,
well, I mean, tomorrow night we have to be in Northampton for 6:15 ready for the game, and some of the girls will have been working in London, or they've been working all day, or they've done an early shift or whatever that might be, and they're coming from work, they're coming to play. That's the staff too.
Yeah,
our staff will come from work to the game. Unfortunately, I'm a school teacher, so it's still the holiday.
For this week, not necessarily for any other week,
of course,
though. Yeah,
we have a fixture, another midweek fixture in late September, where we'll have worked all day and have to make sure everything's ready for the fixture in the evening. And so, yeah, that presents its challenges in terms of being prepared and ready as well. And if you've worked all day, you know, injuries in the evening are quite common because you've already overloaded yourself for that day.
And you know, even things like if you are with a family and you've got to look at childcare, because often that falls to women, not always, but you know, I'm guessing that a lot of the men footballers don't have to think, oh, I've got to pick up the kids and they've got to go and to their after school club before I go on and play my match.
Well, Sarah's injured. You know, she's a mum of three. She's got, you know, to look after them all day. And then
with a broken arm as well.
Yeah, and work out what she's going to do with them when we have evening fixtures or Sunday games.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have lots of challenges that way. So
Yeah. It'll be interesting to think about that more.
To a few of the players and they have like some very interesting topics, so hopefully over the course of the series we'll hear from some of the youth players.
Yes, we went down to training, didn't we, last week, and we had a chat with yourself. Everyone seemed to be very keen to be talking to us, so that's going to be great.
We hope so, and I think we've got probably a million more questions for Liz, so Liz, you'll have to come back
definitely,
so we can talk to you
and
more.
We did mention, because we're going to talk about this, we are up for trying things, and if we can get some shin pads,
some shin pads and some boots.
Oh, of course, yeah. Well, one of our players is out for tomorrow's game because she got a kick on the shin. I'd forgotten about that. Brooke got a kick on the.
Oh, yes. We saw that, yes. Didn't we? Yeah, it was right in front of us.
But sometimes the shin pads they wear aren't the best ones, so she probably should have been wearing slightly larger shin pads as well.
Well, we'll give it a go one time. We'll come down and train, but I think we might only last a few seconds, won't we?
Yeah. I don't think I'll last long, Liz.
Yeah. We'd love to. Thanks ever so much.
Yeah, thank you very much, Liz.
Cambridge Radio. Women's Sports Mix.
I get to introduce our first guest. It's February Phillips from the Cambridge Rollerbillies.
Hello, to meet you.
And you. Now, firstly, before we talk specifically about the Cambridge scene, what is roller derby and how could you explain it to people?
Well, it is a sport played on roller skates in quite a large sports hall, so a flat surface. It's played on a track that's laid within that sport hall, that's an oval, and it's a contact sport. And when I say contact, it's sort of body contact, so you can't punch anyone in the face or, you know, headbutt anyone or kick anyone's legs, but we are hitting each other with our full bodies. Because we're on roller skates, we wear full protective wear, so knee pads, elbow pads, wrist guards and helmets and gum shields, and we skate around. Two skaters score points by passing other skaters on the other team, essentially.
So how many on the track?
There are, on the track at any time, there's four blockers from each team and two jammers. The jammers score points by passing the other blockers, and then the blockers all have to stay within a certain distance of each other, so they're constantly sort of fighting with each other to stop the blockers and to stop the other blockers stopping their jammer. So it's...
Hang on a minute, there's two teams. And both teams have their blockers and jammers on at the same time.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
But you don't use all your skaters in one go. They can be anywhere between sort of 30 seconds and 2 minute sections, and then you swap your blockers and your jammers in and out because it is such high, you know, high energy.
Yeah. It's intense, isn't it?
You can't do it for a full half an hour, basically. Yeah. You have to come on, hit each other and run past each other for 2 minutes. And then
so when you say run, you are running, but running on skates. But do you skate?
We're skating, we're using a lot of our wheels, and it's quad skates, so not in line, so it's those sort of ones with eight wheels on the corners, and we're constantly changing direction, stopping, going, moving around really fast, and it does result in quite a lot of sort of high velocity movement in different directions.
So is it kind of are you in a pack at any one time?
That is what it's called. You've been doing your research. I
just made it up.
Yeah.
I did
see,
do my
you
research
were born to be
but
on
I
roller
didn't
skates.
I didn't know that was the case, but check me out.
So the blockers are all in a pack and they're all close together, and then the jammers get to lap around the other skaters.
And it's people equals points. So as you're going around, you want to overtake people, and the blockers are trying to stop you because that's how you get points.
That's right. In fact, hips score points.
Oh,
so
do
hips
they?
Have to get
hips don't lie.
Hips don't lie.
That should be the same play later. But are they all going in the same direction?
Yes.
That's also mind-boggling.
You can go in the opposite direction, but you can't hit anyone while you're doing that. So there's never a kind of head-on-head contact like you would get in. I don't know if anyone ever played that game Bulldog at school.
Yes.
It's called something else now, I think. Yeah. But there's never that sort of direct impact head on head, or if there is, that you get a penalty for it or ejected.
So you're kind of chasing.
So you're chasing around.
Okay.
Although when I started the game, I was one of the founding members, so I started 16 years ago. Fantastic. The game was incredibly fast, and everyone was constantly running around this rink really, really fast. And then the blockers worked out that they didn't have to go fast.
they could wait.
They could just wait and then try and stop the jammer getting past by moving sideways, which has changed the gameplay quite a lot. So it's an interesting sport.
And is a jammer always a jammer and a blocker always a blocker? Do you tend to have the skill for one or the other?
You can switch between, and there's one skater in the blocker lineup who can become the jammer. Mm-hmm. So they can get the we call them a helmet cover. So we can get the star helmet cover that identifies you as a jammer passed on to another blocker.
But is that only one, did you say?
Only one skater, yeah, in each of the four. And they can then take over, but they then don't have the right to call it off, so they can't end it, whereas the jammer can end it at any point they want to.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you say end it, was that because they think they've got enough points
they've
to get through
points,
for that?
Or the other jammer's coming and they don't want them to score any points. So what you're trying to do is get around the fastest before the other one does and call it off.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
It's very complicated. There's lots of rules. There's lots of officials and referees as well.
See,
well, we're talking about refereeing later, so maybe someone could be a roller derby referee.
Oh, definitely.
So you were one of the founder members, but it was the Romsey Town Rollerbillies before. Were you part of that?
Yeah, I was. And we called it Romsey Town. Most of us were from this area of the town. Well, you don't know where we are on the radio, right? But the Romsey Town area. We're actually in Petersfield. And also, we at the time didn't want it to be called Cambridge, you know. We wanted it to be something else. Yeah. And I think a lot of teams end up naming it about like the area they're in, so like Norfolk or Essex or Suffolk.
Yeah.
So we went more local rather than more expanded. But you know, people who come and join us are from all over Cambridge and Cambridgeshire, and you know, the wider area. We've got some skaters who come even from Bedford area, and yeah.
So. And how did you get involved? What kind of drew you to becoming a founder member?
I went to a party. And
they had the best plans get down, don't they? This is how this came about, I think.
Yeah, a lot of things start at a party. And two friends of friends came and said, oh, we've just been to see this amazing sport in London. It was women on roller skates hitting each other. Do you want to join? I was just like, I've never heard of anything that sounds like more fun. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and I was really keen at that time to take up a sport. I'd sort of done lots of things previously and dropped them. Yeah, and then we went down to London and watched them. And London were the team in the UK who was sort of the first team to sort of, they got some skaters from the US who came over and set it all up. And they then helped us train, which is really nice. So it was a very sort of collaborative, although we're competing with other teams, there's a very sort of thing about sharing our knowledge and sharing, you know, how we advance the sport and make it better for everyone to play in, really, across the different teams within the country and actually Europe. You know, we're going in a few months to give a workshop to some players in France. And
Spread. And there's a lot. It's all amateur, though, is that right?
There isn't a profession yet, but there is a sort of very super high level league, you know, thing that mostly is done in America, the World Tournament, basically, where a lot of
it's big over there, isn't it?
Yeah.
If anyone wants to sort of take a look online, you can see, and that's the origins of it. Is it in the US for roller derby?
Yeah, the sort of, I mean, the original origins were sort of in the Depression there, so you know, a long time ago. The sport was set up, and they sort of played it on a bank track, so it's like a velodrome.
Yeah, that was the word I was looking for. Yeah,
and we don't have them in the UK. So when, you know, later on, it became a little bit like wrestling. You know, it was a bit sort of theatrical, and you know, it's about sort of hitting people with your
arm. Stage names,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, we still do have sort of fake, you know, not fake names, alternative names.
Yeah.
For various reasons, some of them to do with stage rings, some of them to do with, you know, not taking family names. It was set up then, and then it sort of evolved from this bank track, you know, a theatrical performance, and then it was brought over here only like 15, 20 years ago, and that's when they started again in America doing it on a front
track. Is it quite woman-led now? Is it for some reason, women's teams that have really embraced it?
So it was, when it was set up 15, 20 years ago again, it was predominantly women who ran it, who set up the whole structure of it, who set up the rules, so it's called WFTDAs, which is Women's Flat Track Derby Association. And although it is women, we're very inclusive, so we include non-binary and trans people as well in the sport without any questions. And there are now teams in the UK called OTA, which is Open to All, which includes men. So those teams play separately to the WFTA teams, but it is very much a female-led sport. And the OTA teams play to the WFTA rules, so it's like saying you have to take on the women's rules, which is
quite rare
and unusual compared to other sports that we hear about.
about quite a lot.
Do you have different team levels within the Cambridge Rollerblades, say?
We do. So we have two teams. We have an A team and a B team. And then we also have a rookie course. And we train probably, I'd say, between 60 and 90 people every year to roller skate. And that then leads on to being part of a roller derby team.
Do I look scared?
Or interested, maybe.
Scared, but excited, I would say. A while ago, I spoke to a couple of your team members because they were going to do a course that year. Yeah. Although by the time I even spoke to them, it was already full up. So it was one of those interviews that wasn't quite, didn't go quite to plan. But it was just showing that people could get involved.
Absolutely.
From scratch, basically.
Yeah, you don't have to have any skating background. You don't even have to be able to stand up on a pair of roller skates at all. We will take you right from the start. It doesn't matter what age you are, what size you are, you know, how physically fit you are. We can get you on roller skates and help you learn how to skate and then potentially play roller derby or potentially become an official in the sport. You know, we're really inclusive, and that includes those, you know, broader things as well as, you know, wanting to hit each other, which some people don't want to do, right?
It's a sport where people can get involved, but they don't necessarily have to play the sport. They can do the skating or learn to get better, but then they can become a really useful member of the team by volunteering and stewarding, but also being referees. And if you say, there's a lot of officials.
There's also non-skating officials. So there's someone has to sit down and write down the scores, and someone has to stay in the penalty box and time the tiles. And so there's all these.
I feel
roles.
There's a couple of roles for us there. Also, if we can't stand up on the skates,
someone has to tell people who's going on the track when from each team.
Like the idea of administrative roles.
And being in charge. I'm not sure about being able to organise which one comes off and which one comes on. I feel that's already blowing my mind.
Yeah, so there's a huge amount of roles, and it is a really nice, you know, lots of people really enjoy doing that and really enjoy coming along, and they really, you know, feel like they're part of a group and get to meet loads of new people, which a lot of, you know, hobbies and sports are about.
The
right?
social side of it as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's becoming clear. Not that we didn't know it before, but sport is one thing, but the social side is also another matter. And the fact that you're inclusive, it gives people a free space to be, especially for coming to Cambridge the first time and don't really know, you know, where safe to go or anything else.
Yeah,
So do you have quite a social life attached as well?
We do, yeah. And I think, you know, the league's quite big at the moment. It's hard to actually know everyone, which is a nice thing as well, because you're always meeting new people, even though, you know, you're not necessarily taking them in. It's a really sociable thing. We have a social every month, I think, on a Sunday before or after training, depending when it is, and go down the pub and have a chat.
You train and do your bounce, which we'll come into in a second, at Kelsey Kerridge.
We do, yes.
And that's your kind of your home.
It is our home. We also have a night at Camborne one night.
Oh, okay.
And we're always looking for a regular weeknight training venue that's big enough. We used to have our own warehouse.
That sounds like a warehouse near us that might be available quite soon. Yeah, the skateboarding gang. When you're talking about the community and how everyone is, I think the skateboarding community is the same thing, that they always wanted to help each other, even if they're competing.
Exactly. So we've just agreed to help the guys who are opening up on Newmarket Road with some funding and, you know, being involved with that as well. We, you know, have previous experience having done it ourselves. So,
I mean, that's going to be invaluable. I'm a really good addition to the skating. There's going to be a lot of roller skaters or inline skaters. To be able to have a night training with you or whatever is going to be really useful, isn't it?
Well, also, a lot of our skaters do ramp skating anyway and do it outdoors at the moment. Yeah. So having an indoor skate park would be really, really useful for us, especially because I think this is something about being outside in the elements and exposed that puts you off going and doing ramp skating. So having that facility is going to be amazing for us to tap into as well.
That's
brilliant. Tried it. I find it really hard, but I think some people really, really enjoy it. It builds a whole different set of muscles to skating flat. So it's useful, I think, as a thing to do for any sport.
So if anyone wants to get in touch with you,
we normally have another intake in January time, though, and it's really good just to keep an eye on our socials and our website to see when that's coming up, and or maybe, you know, even send us an email through the contact you can find on our website, and then we put you on a list of people. We'll send an email and tell you when it's
that's a good idea, because things come around faster than you think. So someone's thinking
January
about
far away,
it actually
really,
probably best to contact you now, get on the list
exactly,
and then you'll be prepared.
And you provide any equipment they need, don't you, for starting off, which is brilliant.
We'll give you skates and full pads, and then you loan those off us for a small deposit.
There must be so much adrenaline involved in roller derby.
You know, often I have a bit of a come down a couple of days afterwards. It's like I've been out on raving or something for the weekend with this massive adrenaline high, and then you're like, oh, and you hurt as well after a game.
Oh yeah, well, I can see why. How old can people do it from?
To take part in Cambridge at the moment, you have to be 18 plus, and we do take men on the the course as well to learn how to skate, but then you can't actually play in the team. Yes, you have to be 18 plus to play, and we only train people who are 18 plus. There are leagues in other places in the country. I can't remember where they are, but there are junior teams in certain places, and you know, it's something we would like to set up maybe in the future. It's just a lot of work to do, and it's a lot of work
and also finding a place to do it. That was absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much, Phoebe Phillips from the Cambridge Rollerblades.
Women's Sports Mix. Cambridge Radio.
Thursday evenings on Cambridge Radio, we saddle up the horses and head out to O'Reilly Country. Brian O'Reilly has 2 hours of country, western and Americana.
Wonderful new songs about at the moment. We'll do our best to get as many as in as we can each and every Thursday night.
O'Reilly Country on air Thursdays at 7 and anytime at cambridge.radio.
This December, make yours a Quaimill Hotel Christmas with a festive lunch, afternoon tea or dinner. Quaimill Hotel and Spa is a secluded haven that offers delightful hotel accommodation in Cambridge, superb food and friendly customer service. Whether it's quality time with family and friends or an office party, Quaimill Hotel can cater for groups large and small, easily located just off the A14 with ample parking. If you're making an evening of it, why not book a room? You could even use our Riverside Spa to get party ready. Make yours a Quaimill Hotel Christmas. Book now at cambridgequaimill.co.uk.
Can you make one small change to save Cambridge's chalk streams? These rare and precious habitats are under threat. By working together, can we save them for future generations? Yes, we can. Make just one change to your everyday habits and join our county's biggest ever water saving action. To say thank you, we'll fix any leaky loos in your home for free. Choose your easy water saving pledge today at yeswecan.co.uk. Brought to you by Cambridge Water. T's and C's apply.
For a great range of electrical goods, visit urboturbo25.com. We're a top-rated online retailer based in St. Neots that's trusted by thousands of UK customers for the past 10 years. We stock a wide selection of kitchen appliances, vacuum cleaners, power tools, personal care items, phone accessories, and much, much more. We offer free shipping, and most of our items are available for next-day delivery. Check out our 100% feedback rating on Amazon and eBay. Visit us today at urboturbo25.com. That's urboturbo25.com.
Cambridge Radio. Women's Sports Mix.
This is Cambridge Radio.
We are going to start today with talking about women's rugby. And I'm really pleased that I've got Zoe Woodhams here and Fabia Howell from Shelford Rugby Club. Hello to you both.
Hello. Hello.
Now, so for the both of you, how did you both get involved in rugby? Do you want to start one after the other?
Yeah, sure.
Zoe, you can start them.
Yeah, I started rugby when I went to uni. So prior to uni, I was actually a dancer. Didn't really know much about rugby, but my dad loved it. Watched international games, but that was it. So when I went to uni, it was Freshers Week. Everyone was set up in the halls of their societies, and I wanted to join a sport. And rugby was one of the first ones I saw. So knew the sport existed, thought it might be fun. Knew my mum might be upset, but my dad would love it. So yeah, that's how I decided to fall into it.
And what about you, Fabia?
Very similar story. I was at university, but a little bit later. My housemate really wanted to try in our second year and dragged me along, and ended up being very grateful she did, because it's been an almost 10-year journey now. But yeah, same as Zoe. I'd done lots of other sports growing up. Had always been okay at stuff, not fantastic. Just knew about rugby, had brothers and dad who played rugby, but hadn't never tried myself until uni.
So interesting that both of you, it was university, and it makes you think, why is that? I mean, I know it's different for everyone, that you get to that stage and then rugby's introduced to you, rather than there being some process for younger girls to play?
Well, I think also traditionally not all schools play rugby.
Yeah, even my school didn't.
Even
do
at
rugby,
boys
though.
Level. So I know that my two played at Shelford as well, but very much as a side thing from playing football in school, that was all they were offered. And then I think there was a rotation where you did like a term of it.
Would that be regional, do you think? Where rugby?
Well, yeah, and the type of school as well. Yes. Traditionally, the more private or independent schools or grammar schools would play rugby. But I don't think that's always the case, is it?
No, I mean, I went to an all-girls school. So rugby was, I mean, I don't even think anyone knew what it was. I mean, we're talking, I started university just over 10 years ago now. So when I was growing up, it just, no one even thought about a girl playing rugby that I'm aware of anyway. So I just don't even know if it was accessible for me when I was younger, which is why I fell into it later. But we are finding a lot of the people coming through to rugby now. That's a very different story.
I think when we were growing up, it was very regional. So I went to university in Cardiff, and a lot of the Welsh girls have been playing their whole lives. They were playing with the boys from age 5 and the whole way through. And it was just, I think, regionally where we were down the south, like no one played rugby as girls. I think we had one kind of taster session when I was at school, when they gathered everyone together and took them away to kind of try rugby. But I was definitely a little bit too kind of, it was a bit of a trek for my parents to take me. I wasn't sure what everyone else would say about it. It wasn't appealing enough for me to commit at that stage, which I obviously regret now.
No regrets. But I think the two things that came up, just thinking, so it's interesting that you were a dancer before, and because I think, again, talking about people's perceptions, they always think that if you play rugby, you've got to be really big and bulky, and you just go ploughing through people and everything else. But clearly, that didn't worry you.
Yeah, actually, so I did the classic little girl started ballet when she was 3. So that was like my path. And then I actually, interestingly on that note, went to the Freshers' Stall, where I first met someone, and there was a girl there. I won't say her name, but she was tall, blonde, slim, beautiful. I was like, whoa. I didn't realise people like to play rugby. So now I know, honestly, rugby is crazy that it's all different shapes and sizes, which is one of the reasons I absolutely love it. But yes, I think when I was little, I didn't realise that anyone could play it, which was what's so good about it.
So how long so you said like in Cardiff, you've children playing at, you know, whatever gender at an early age. I don't know, is that the same around here now? Or your club, how's it go?
It's coming up now. So this is the first, I think maybe 2 years ago, we had 18-year-olds coming up to play senior rugby. And they almost had the most experience of us all, because they've been playing since they were kind of, I don't know, 6, 7. And like, I think so Hills Road School College, they've got a good rugby program, I know, because we had a few girls from there. And I think it is now getting into schools a little bit. Maybe they're just doing tag or touch rugby in primary schools, and then it's working its way through. So it's definitely, it's out there more now, but I'd say that's something that's only really happened in the last 5 years. Yeah. Maybe it's very recent.
Shelford's got a girls program, lots of different age ranges. Because I wasn't brought up doing it as little, I can't quite remember what the rules are regarding contacts and stuff.
But it is up to a certain age, you're not allowed to contact.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so now the girls are all, they're all moving up, and we see them train before us. I'm like, gosh, it'd be cool to have started that age. It really would have been. Yeah.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's also the if you do start earlier, not always, but you probably are getting a head start on someone, like, you know, you're waiting to go to university, you're learning the skills earlier. Although I'm sure ballet has, you know, a strong core.
Oh, I've pirouetted out of tackles before, yeah.
Well, yeah, and also I was just thinking when you were saying about going through schools and things, the teachers that are trained to do PE and everything, if they haven't had the training in rugby, they probably feel less inclined to teach it, because, you know, when you're teach training, if you're doing a year's teach training, you get such a small glimpse of things. You're going to go with the ones that you feel the most comfortable with. So it comes down to kind of education right from the start. If they've played rugby as a child, then they will then think, oh, well, it's okay. Even if I didn't get a module on it, I'll know how to do it. So I think a lot of it does come down to kind of preferences of the school in that sense.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, especially if you're doing contact rugby in secondary school, you have to bring coaches in, which is obviously an additional cost which some schools aren't able to do. And not all, some clubs, I think Shelford have quite a good community outreach kind of programme, where we often send people out to schools, and lots of clubs are now doing that, but obviously it's probably not as many coaches out there as many schools that
like
would like
say,
to offer it.
Cutting budgets and everything else with schools, that's going to be a problem. And it always comes down to these things, that the things that are really important for well-being and health and fitness and exercise, they get pushed out for, well, they can't afford them. And I hadn't thought about the fact that you would need coaches in, because, you know, you've got to wear a lot of protection, well, some protection in, you know, gum shields and all that sort of stuff.
And how often do you, as at Shelford Rugby Club, as players, what's the, how often are you playing, how many games, how many coaching sessions do you have?
So we do two training sessions a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then we have games not every Sunday, but they are, women generally play on Sunday, whereas the men generally play on Saturday.
And this is senior rugby, isn't it?
Senior rugby, yeah. Absolutely. I'm running around a rugby pitch three times a week most weeks.
Is there how many teams are there? I'm not really sure about the system.
So we've currently just got one women's team playing in the league at the moment. We're playing in Champ 2, so it's actually quite a high level. It's like the third kind of level of rugby women can play at, which is pretty impressive, I think. now we're really getting into the season, so I think we kick off our proper season this Sunday against Boston, and then we'll be playing most weekends all the way through until kind of March time.
So have you worked up to that league?
So a couple of years ago way back when I first appeared at Shelford in 2017, we were in this league and we struggled a little bit. We were really struggling for numbers. We dropped down and then we had to work our way back up. And I think we've done two full seasons in this league. So this will be our third season. We've done pretty well both years, like solid kind of mid-table finishes. But we're definitely pushing for a little bit higher now.
I was going to say, what are your ambitions for this year? That do you think to move up if you could?
We would love, but I think the team has a lot of high aspirations for this year, and the squad looks fantastic. We've already had a friendly, which went really well. I think everyone in the squad is really really pleased and hopeful that actually we're going to do really good things.
And so that's the ladies senior team, and so you're playing this weekend, that's the 15th of September.
Yep.
Can people come along and watch?
Absolutely.
Free to watch.
Yeah.
It's at the David Club.
I believe we're kicking off at 2:00.
Yes.
Check our social media pages for confirmation on that.
So that's just Shelford Rugby.
Just at Shelford Rugby Club, the David Field in Shelford.
Yeah.
Which is opposite Scottsdale's, if anyone doesn't know.
Oh, yes, indeed.
So you can always do a bit of, bit of shopping
Gonna get your
afterwards.
House plants.
Exactly. What positions do you both play?
So I'm a prop, so I am probably what people imagine when they're kind of looking at the big people running through. And I think probably one of the scariest positions if you went home to tell your mum that you'd started rugby and you were playing prop. But
are they used to it now?
My brother was a prop too, and my dad was like, she's starting rugby, she's going to be a prop. And mum was like, no. And he was like, she's going to be a prop. And now he'll come and he's kind of, if I say I'm playing any other position, he's like, why? I'm like, it'll be funny, I'm playing on the wing. And he's like, no, it won't be funny, you're just really slow. And I'm like, cool, thanks.
Well, that's the beauty of a team, isn't it? That, you know, that's the idea, like you said, for rugby to play all shapes and sizes. It's because you all have different skills to bring to it.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you wouldn't want your wing to be bigger and running.
Yeah.
And I'm not, and when I say that, I mean that as a compliment.
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
you, you need them just to zip through, don't you?
Definitely. Like, I'm very strong, but I'm also not very fast.
Well, not as fast, should we say. I'm sure you're pretty fast.
Not as fast. But it's I think that's my favourite thing about rugby, and especially like the women's rugby community, is that everyone's welcome. Whatever shape you are, whatever size you are, if you've got great handling skills, we love that. If you're really strong, we can utilize all these things. And you just gotta come into it with a good attitude and just be willing to throw
yourself
into it.
Do you have a beginners or a intermediate, you know, like people that could come along and just sort of give it a try and try out? Obviously not straight into the senior team, I'm going to say, but you know, do you have any other women's teams that play at other levels? Or
we used to. We had a really good recruitment drive, and we did have two teams. Unfortunately, I think Cambridge is the kind of place where people come and go a lot. Mm-hmm. And then we realised we were going to struggle a bit with numbers. Loads left for university, for example. So we only have the one team at Shelford, but our training sessions are catered to absolutely everyone. So we always, always want new people, and whether they've played before or not, and absolutely welcome people who have never even touched a rugby ball. So,
do you have intakes for that, or is it just at any point people can contact you?
At any point. Yeah, absolutely. So contact us, just turn up, whatever.
How would that work with someone that maybe hadn't played much? If someone's played rugby, they might have more of an idea, but if someone hasn't but thinks they might have potential, do they come and watch? How do you then work out whether they can play rugby for your team?
We just let them have a go. If someone would want to join the team and is a little bit unsure, to message one of our social pages, either Instagram or Facebook. We've got people who can then help reassure people that it's okay to turn up if you've never played before. We have boots of all sizes that don't belong to anyone that people can then come and just use. You don't need
that's
anything.
Good. That is really good, because that's going to be a barrier, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. You're not going to be thrown into tackling someone like Fab straight away. So there's no scary stuff to that, and you can come and watch, but it is so much more fun to just start doing it and start throwing the ball. And our coaches are used to training people who have never touched a ball before, so very much, even if it looks really complicated, everyone is so supportive in just getting people.
We've had girls come in who've never played before, never touched ball before, either no sport background or come from other sports, and have turned out to be incredible, absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
It's always in them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. So it's definitely a kind of, I don't know,
I'm just thinking, was it Tuesdays and Thursdays?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Calm down.
I don't know, Alex. I once at my school, we did, like you were saying, about the taster day. Mm-hmm. That was all we got. And they lined us up and they said, you have to be opposite someone of your size. I was just left on the end, and there wasn't someone small enough to come and tackle me, or for me to tackle.
I get that, but everyone walks away from me.
We've got some small people on our team, so you wouldn't be the smallest if you came down.
You can just run around them.
See, that's a really good, you know, that's a good
speedy,
to be
in.
Between the legs.
Oh, there you go. Don't let it hold you back.
No, I shouldn't, shall I?
if any people, their children would like to play, especially their girls, can they come along to those mini sessions, and how do they get involved in that? Is that still through the website?
Absolutely. I think just I think maybe it's our generation, but messaging the social media pages, right, and asking how to get involved. There's definitely a few women's or girls sections, and I believe they run a Wednesday afternoon kind of after school project, which I think is called 7-Eleven, something like that.
Something like that.
Which is all about getting girls into rugby. So definitely, if someone wants to get involved, look that up, and come along.
That's absolutely brilliant. Well, thank you very much, the pair of you. And we'll come and try and watch a game. Can't do this week, but we will come watch a home game sometime. And mate, I think we should go for a little bit of a training session.
Definitely should.
Absolutely, we'd love to have you.
Thank you very much.
This is Cambridge Radio Women's Sports Mix.
I went along to the opening of the new indoor skate park on the 30th of September, and then to the first Girls Skate Cambridgeshire Night on the 4th of October, which is now a monthly event. I spoke to the three women, Taya, Jessica and May, who set up and run Girls Skate Cambridgeshire, about how they got into skating.
Hi, I'm Taya. I started skating probably about 6 years ago now. My partner got me into skateboarding, and when I used to go to the skate parks, I didn't see any other girls skating, which was quite depressing. So I decided, influenced very heavily by Girlskate UK, which we've been able to have a lot of communication over the years with and run events with, decided to run and start Girlskate Cambridge. So, yeah.
Hi, I'm Jessica. I think I started because of Thea, really. during the pandemic, I was just stuck at home and I wanted something to do. So I wanted to do some sports outside, and I found her page and I just reached out to her and I was like, look, I'm on my late 20s and I want to start skating, but I feel quite embarrassed to go to the skate park by myself. And she just said, come along. And that's how I started. This was maybe 2020.
Hi, I'm May. I'm 21 and I've been skating for about 4 years. I also started in 2020, I think, like the end of the lockdowns when everything was easing up and we could go out a bit more, which is really nice. And I started with my mate Ollie. He got me into it, which was a laugh. And I already longboarded before that, which I don't normally tell people because sometimes like people laugh at it. But I did that for ages, and then I got into skateboarding and I just loved it, and then did it all from there, pretty much.
It's interesting that a lot of people seem to have started it during lockdown or after lockdown. I guess it was because it's something you could do on your own, you could do outside, and you didn't have to involve anyone else. Is that one of the reasons why people like skateboarding?
I totally agree. I think lockdown helped because it's something that you can do for free. You can just grab a board, go out. It's great to do it with people, but you can do it on your own. But I also think that we are just sort of 90s and early 2000 kids. And we probably saw lots of skateboarding when we were younger and boys doing it. And we were not really, there was no representation. And I think we sort of grew up and realised, actually, we can do the cool stuff that we wanted to do when we were younger. So I think that's probably influenced quite a lot of us as well.
I seem to see this a lot and talk to people that if you see it, you can be it. But if you don't have any of that representation, it doesn't seem like a good role model. But I feel like you lot are all going to be kind of good role models for some of the young kids that are here today, some of the young girls skating and roller skating here.
Yeah, I really agree. I think that representation is really important in any sport, mainly in sports like this that are mainly male-dominated. So I think when a girl goes past the skate park and sees other girls inside the skate park like actually doing cool stuff, I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I agree. That's why like girls' nights like these are so important, I think. Because not only like feeling comfortable, you also make friends, and then you have friends to skate with afterwards and go meet up with them, and you just have your own community if you start attending events like this, which I think is really good. Yeah.
And do you think that people then come along to here, then hook up with people, get friendly with people, and then feel more confident to go to other skate parks as well? Because there are more skate parks. You've been very much involved in creating some of these skate parks, haven't you?
Yeah, so I've worked quite closely with the council, and we've managed to get a brand new skate park in Haslingfield. There were a couple of rundown ramps, and we've been able to get all concrete flat ground there, which is awesome, and a new skate park in Shelford. And obviously we've got the lovely warehouse now as well, so there's been a real growth in the skate community around Cambridgeshire. Something else I just want to quickly mention as well is that we've been able to help influence the skate schools. So we ended up getting a girl skate member to be leading one of the skate schools. So yeah, Sabrina Hubbard became the first girl coach in Cambridgeshire, which helped influence a lot of girls that wanted to then skate with her. And I would say that the representation for the younger years is almost like 50-50 now. So that's been wonderful. And now we've got younger instructors like Bella, who's now teaching at Jesus Green after Sabrina has. So
if you've got role models that you can relate to, I mean, you can do anything then, can't you?
I think so. And the fact that Bella and her sister as well, they skate, and Aramea, all of those girls, when they get together in the skate park, I just think it's amazing. All the other little kids just start looking at them like, I want to be like them. I'm older than them and I want to be like them. So yeah, I think it's amazing.
And May, you've been doing lots of really cool things, haven't you? I mean, I've seen you are on the front of certain magazines, skating magazines. So how did you get to do all this stuff?
Well, I've never been on the front, for the record. I was in it. I don't want to claim to be on the front of it.
We don't mind if you're anywhere in it. We're claiming it.
Well, I got an interview in Skateboarders Companion magazine, which I was like super, super happy about. It was so exciting. And the magazine got delivered like the day after my birthday, and I was so happy. I don't really know how I managed to get that. I think
talent.
I Well, I had a really good friend who was into skate photography, and he takes a lot of photos for the magazine. And because we were so close, he took a few photos of me, and then they just asked me to be in it. I guess from posting on Instagram and stuff like this, which is also good for girls' representation. Like, yeah, because it puts it out there, and then you get to be in magazines, and people get to see you and stuff like that, which is good.
And seeing more women in magazines doing these things is going to, like you say, it's going to show good representation, isn't it? And I'd like to know, what do you think about, like, the skateboarding going into the Olympics? I know when it initially was talked about, a lot of skateboarders weren't so happy. Now I feel like that showcasing that skateboarding isn't a thing to be frightened of, and a lot of girls are doing really well in it, that, I don't know how you feel about that.
I think I understand the mixed feelings. Skateboarding is meant to be a street sport, in a way, and I think it's about, like, you being able to express yourself, all the freedom. And I think that when you go to the Olympics, there's a lot of rules, and maybe that's why people have those divided opinions. I agree that it should be there. In my opinion, it should be there, yes.
Yeah, I think there's definitely pros and cons to it. Like, some of the pros being that everyone sort of looked down upon skateboarding before, when it was, like, more of a counterculture, and it was like, oh, they're doing like naughty things, I've been dangerous in the street. So I think it's good for that. But then sports wise, like, for me, I feel like it's a different sport. Like, everyone's sort of, it's the same image. You have all these sponsors. Like, I've seen some brands that have nothing to do with skateboarding sponsoring them, and I'm like, what have you got to do with it? Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't think it's that good of a thing personally, but there's some pros to it.
No, I agree. I think you can't escape some of the big influences, especially for girls, such as, like, Sky Brown, etc. But it is a shame how skateboarding's used as a way to capitalise. And I think that that's a huge problem. And like May said, to add to that, there's so many adverts now on TV where you see people, like, holding a skateboard or, you know. And yeah, it's a tough one. I do understand why people kind of frown upon it. And I think as well, we've had a bit of a stigma with girls skateboarding and people thinking that girls are just skateboarding because of the Olympics. And the two don't go hand in hand at all. Like, we've always been here, we've always wanted to be here. It's just our representation has improved.
May, you skate in Bristol as well as in Cambridge. So how does it compare here now? I mean, I know obviously today we've now got these skate night sessions, but how is it in Bristol compared to here?
I think it's really different. There's a much bigger scene in Bristol, skate scene, and I think it's mainly because the city itself is so different. It's very student city, it's very arty and all of that. So I think there's a really big scene for it, especially a girl scene. I would say Bristol has one of the most welcoming girl scenes I've ever been to. Like, everyone's so nice. They're all, like, there's a lot of older girls as well as younger girls. And then in Cambridge, it's on the rise, definitely. And places like The Warehouse are going to do so much for this, like, skateboarding scene in Cambridge. I think they're both good. It's just a lot bigger in Bristol, I'd say. Yeah.
I guess Bristol's a lot bigger, and people have fought for more facilities there. And, like, they're not definitely a bit like this. They've not been given them like any other sports, which is something I find hard, that because skateboarding is so inclusive, I can get about the Olympics, but you can see the skateboarders in the Olympics all working together and all cheering each other, which you don't get in other sports. So we're in a nice, warm, enclosed place with lights on and people around here. I guess that's a problem generally as the winter comes on.
Yeah, I mean, to start with, I'd say that one of the main aims for Girl Skate is to actually not have Girl Skate, which sounds a bit controversial, but it's needed at the moment. And I think people are maybe a bit protected from that, especially our male skate scene. You know, I get messages from girls probably weekly saying about bad experiences that they've had at the skate park. Unfortunately, it is a minority of people that are causing the grief. Places like Girl Skate or girls events are really important just to create that safe space where girls can be together, can skate together and be confident. I think Girl Skate UK has had a massive impact, and I think that really helped me out here with Cambridge, because before 5 years ago there just wasn't really a skate scene here, especially for girls. And like Bristol, you mentioning Bristol, I think that skate scene has probably been going a lot longer, so it's really inspiring to have skate scenes like that coming together for Girl Skate UK, because Girl Skate UK take a skate scene in every county and then they've sort of put us on this big skateboarding map. And we were actually invited to a Girl Skate UK event in London as like, yeah, it was really fun. I won a pair of trainers. It was pretty cool.
Yes, that was so good. Such a good event.
So even though our reach in Cambridge has been kind of Cambridgeshire, we've managed to talk and meet up with other girls around the UK. So
yeah, there was a lot of girls there that we just saw on Instagram. Like, we never had the chance to meet them in person, and just getting tips from them and getting advice from them and motivation as well. It was really good. It was really good.
How do you feel that the community is inclusive?
I think that the skate scene, at least from my point of view, is quite inclusive. It can be, at least, but it's important to mention that we should be pointing fingers at, you know, the flaws in the scene as well. And sometimes I'm a black woman, and I think it's important to have a presentation about race as well. And this, to mention that we have a young skateboarder. I mean, she does everything, but a young skateboarder called Kitty, and she's amazing.
So Kitty, she BMXs now, that's her thing, but she was an incredible skateboarder and she still likes to do it. We supported her film a promo video and get sponsorships, and then she became part of Skateboarding GB, and she was the Girl Skate Cambridgeshire Youngers representative. And it was just so important having her on board, not only to celebrate women in skateboarding, but also to represent women of colour in skateboarding. And I just remember this skate event that she came to, and there was another little girl there that was just absolutely in awe of her and sort of like, oh wow, like and she ended up picking up a board and joining in. I forgot her name though, which sucks, but shout out to her as well, she'll know who she is.
Sadly lost to BMX, but you know, that is a great sport in its own right.
There is a real lack of representation of people of colour in magazines as well. I don't know if you've noticed, May, but we need to be representing everybody in our sport. And our skate night is girls, but it's also for non-binary and queer as well. So we're trying to also create a space for people.
Sounds wonderful. Well, I'm really excited to see how it all gets better and bigger. Maybe we won't need girls skate nights, but while they're here, let's celebrate them. And I really want to thank all three of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Women's Sports Mix, Cambridge Radio.
Thank you to all of our guests from this year. And if you are involved in women's and girls sport or activities in Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire, we would love to hear from you.
Yes, so you can DM us on Instagram at @women's_sportsmix, or you can get in touch via email amy@cambridge.radio.
And we don't have a show in 2 weeks' time at the end of December, but we will be back in mid-January. So do keep an eye on our Instagram for details of our next episode, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.